Well, good evening, everyone. It's Tuesday, the 31st of March. This is Nathan.
And this is Tim.
And tonight we're going to be continuing our new Tuesday evenings pattern whilst we can't meet together. Tim, why don't you just remind us of what we're going to be doing together tonight?
Yeah, well, again, the plan this evening will be to first hear a short talk from the Bible. Nathan is going to take us through the next part of Mark's Gospel. Then secondly, there will be a few discussion questions to help you think through the talk, to help you reflect on what we learn together. Our hope is that you may be able to do these together with others in your household or with your grow group over Zoom, or perhaps even over the phone to someone else who's listened in. Then thirdly, there'll be an opportunity to pray. We would really love for you to set some time afterwards to pray about what we learn together, and also for other needs in our church family and our world at this time.
Fantastic. And if you want to get the most out of tonight, it'll probably help you to have a Bible to hand, so why not grab one now? You may also like some pen and paper if you wanted to take notes. A little bit later on, when we come to have some times of prayer together, you might also find it helpful to have the grapevine. That's our church prayer sheet to hand. Hopefully that was attached to the email that some of you will have got earlier today. Tim, why don't you pray for us, and then we'll look at the Bible together.
Good. Well, let's pray then, shall we? We read in Ephesians chapter 3 these words: "In Jesus and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Our Father in heaven, we pray this evening in strange times. And yet, Father, we thank you so much that even in our restricted freedom of movement and perhaps isolation, we thank you that we have freedom to boldly come to your throne. Father, thank you that in Jesus we have great confidence to ask big things to your praise and for your glory. And Father, this evening we do pray that you would help as we listen to your word together, that it would fill us with that confidence, that you would do us good as we listen in and discuss with others afterwards and as we pray. Father, thank you so much for technology as well, that we're able to do this. Even though we can't gather in person, we can still gather over the internet, still gather over the phone and encourage one another. Please would you do that for us this evening. And Father, we do also want to say thank you so much for your word too, that is not chained, that it's living and active, and that it's relevant for us. And so as we turn back to Mark's Gospel this evening, would you help Nathan to helpfully expound it to us, that we would understand and be changed and transformed more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. Please help us to listen. Please help us to pray about what we hear and for other needs too. And Father, we ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good. We're going to turn back to Mark's Gospel this evening, carrying on our series. Remember that we're planning to go through the whole of Mark's Gospel, or at least read through the whole of Mark's Gospel, and focus on 20 stories that get us to the heart of why Jesus is good news. So take a Bible and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and Tim's going to read to us the first 34 verses.
So starting at verse 1. "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear any grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything.
Thanks so much, Tim. We're going to be giving our attention this evening just to those first 20 verses of chapter 4. Probably one of the most famous stories I think Jesus told. Probably many of us listening tonight will have heard this story of the farmer and the seed and the different types of ground preached in so many settings. Some of us will have even taught it to kids or to grow groups or to whoever it may be. This is a pretty famous story. But as familiar as it is, it's really a story that is here at its heart to get us to the heart of thinking about what happens when the Word of God is taught to us. The Bible is the Word of God, but in particular, I think Jesus has in focus here what happens when the good news about Jesus is taught to us. You remember Mark's Gospel is an account of that good news. Jesus goes around preaching that good news. And in this familiar story, Jesus introduces himself to us as a farmer who sows seed. So look at chapter 4, verse 3. "Listen," he says, "a farmer went out to sow his seed," the main character in the story. But what does that mean? Well, look down at verse 14 as Jesus explains it. "The farmer sows the word." Now, that farmer is Jesus. He is the one who is scattering the seed of God's word or of the good news into the people who are around him. That's how chapter 4 begins, isn't it? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things. Here is Jesus with a crowd sowing the seed of his teaching, sowing this good news. And as we read through the Gospel of Mark, this is consistent with what we see. There is a huge emphasis on Jesus as a teacher and a preacher. Now, back in chapter 1, verse 38, the crowds and the disciples were loving the healings, they were loving the miracles, they were loving the exercising of demons. But listen to what Jesus says. He says to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Jesus' priority was to preach. He wanted to sow the word, to scatter the seeds of the good news of the kingdom and of forgiveness in his name. Now, this is something that Jesus often did using stories like the ones that Tim's just read to us. Jesus is a farmer who sows the message of good news, of God's good news. And in Mark's gospel, we see him doing that in person, like with the crowd, the lake, just scattering the seed of this word. But through Mark's gospel, and indeed through the whole Bible, Jesus is still sowing that seed today. He is still today scattering the good news about the kingdom, about forgiveness of sins. And so if you think about that for a moment, what Jesus is introducing us to here is that every time that the Bible is opened, or is read, or is preached, Jesus is scattering the seed of his word onto the ground of your heart. Even tonight, Jesus, as it were, has thrown a seed at you. As Tim read the scriptures to us, he's thrown a seed at your heart. And the question is, what will you do with that seed? What will happen to it in your life? Even tonight, what's that seed going to do? What can we expect the seed of the gospel to do in the world as it's sown? Well, that's where this story gets us thinking. Now, it's a familiar story to us and it's loaded with good things, but I really just want to pick out kind of three messages, three lessons, as it were, that leap out of this story for us to consider together tonight and then maybe talk about in our groups later. And I think the first lesson from this story, the first thing that springs out, is that we must be people who listen to the word. Listen to the word that's sown in us. And just look with me at verse 3. So Jesus is teaching this parable, and the very first thing he says is this: "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed." Very first word, listen. What does Jesus want the crowds that are gathered round him to do? What does Jesus want us to do with the word that is sown in us? Very simply, he wants us to listen. This is underlined by the way that Jesus closes this story to the crowd. Look again at chapter 4, verse 9. "Then Jesus said, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.'" That word "hear" is the same word, listen. Whoever has ears to listen, let them listen. Now, when Jesus says listen, he actually means more than just taking in sound waves through your ears. I'm told in my house I'm an expert at listening, but not really listening. Now, you see, Jesus spells out for us what he means in verse 20 as he explains the story to his disciples. Just flick over to verse 20. "Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop." Here's what Jesus means by listening: hearing it, allowing it to come in, getting this word inside you, accepting it, which really captures the idea of considering it to be true, something to be listened to and acted upon, and allowing it to produce a crop. To listen to the word, what Jesus is calling the crowds to do here, is to allow the word, the good news, to move from your ears into actions, to move from hearing to the heart. Now here's a challenge for us, isn't it? Because when Jesus scatters his word in our direction, when he plants a seed on the ground of your heart, he wants you to listen. And to listen in the fullest sense that he means here, to hear it, to accept it, to consider it to be true, to be acted upon. And then he wants that seed to grow, to shape you, to change you. Now, in a very simple way, that's the very way we become Christians, isn't it? We hear the good news. What kind of response is Jesus looking for as he preaches the good news to us? Well, he's looking for us to hear it, to hear that Jesus is good news, to hear that he's the Saviour who came into this world to forgive our sins. He then wants you to accept it, to consider it to be true, to consider it to be something you need. Yes, I do need forgiveness. Yes, I do need a Saviour. Yes, I am in trouble with God. And then he wants that seed to grow, to produce life-changing behaviour in you. That's what's hinted at in the Isaiah quote in verse 12, that turning and being forgiven. And I want to ask perhaps some of you listening tonight, have you ever let the word of Jesus, the seed that he's sown in you, do that? Have you ever let it kind of enter you, accept it as true, and then turn you, produce a crop in you of turning to Jesus? That's what Jesus wants his word to do. That's what he wants us. Listen, hear, accept, and grow. But friends, for those of us listening in tonight, actually that's how he wants us to go on listening to the word, to hear it, to accept it, for it to produce a crop in us. Every time Jesus sends his word in our direction, he wants us to listen. And so just ask yourself for a moment, what have you done with Jesus' words? What are you doing with Jesus' words? Are you allowing them to change you? See, many of us get a lot of God's word, don't we? We read it daily. We may even listen to podcasts or sermons. We study it in grow groups. We share it with our kids. But the question that kind of hangs over us as the seed is sown is, are we listening? As Jesus would define listening, are we listening? Are we hearing, accepting, and allowing it to change us? We find ourselves in strange times, and many of us may be taking in a lot more of God's word at the moment than perhaps we have done in previous times. We might be watching kind of daily podcasts or listening to the Bible or reading about a bit more. But what are we doing with it? Jesus says, listen, hear it, accept it. That means consider it to be true, weigh it, and then allow it to work itself into your life, to produce a crop, to produce changed behavior. Let Jesus sow and grow his word in you. That's what this story is encouraging us to do. Listen. Listen to his word. A second message, though, I think that comes out from this story is that we must expect different reactions to the word. In this story, famous as it is, Jesus spells out four different reactions, different responses to the word. Four things that will happen to the good news as it is sown in the heart. Now, these four reactions are pictured for us with the four different soils or the different places that the seed lands. The first reaction we see in verse 4. As he was scattering, the farmer was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at the explanation that Jesus gives to his disciples in verse 15. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Now, here's a first reaction to expect when the word is preached. There is no growth, there is no change, it just seems to have no impact at all. This is a reminder to us that there will be some who hear the word, but nothing happens. No response, no interest, no excitement, no acceptance. That's the first reaction that Jesus wants us to know. Second reaction we actually see in verse 16 and 17. Other seed, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word at once, receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. I guess we've all known people like this, that the Bible can be received with great joy, but after a while they fall away and no crop is produced. We've all seen that initial excitement or delight in Jesus, but because of trouble, they quickly fall away. People who have come to church, perhaps, we know, who've been excited even, but when things get difficult, they drift off. That's a reaction that Jesus tells us to expect as the word is sown. And the third reaction that we get highlighted is seen in verse 18 and 19. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. There are those, aren't there, who hear, but are choked out by the worries of life. It's very easy, isn't it, for the other things in life to take over. Family, work, social life. People can say they believe, but then there is just no growth. I'm sure we can all think of people that have got so close, but just other things have taken over, and then they drift away. The fourth reaction, though, that Jesus says to expect is seen in verse 20. That is, people hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. It's easy to forget this part in this parable, but there will be people who believe. When the word is sown, there will be people who accept it, consider it to be true, and produce a crop. Now, why does Jesus tell us these four reactions? Well, I think as he, in this story, prepares his disciples, particularly in verse 10, he draws them in, he gets them close. He explains the parable because he is preparing them for the work that they will do of going on to sow the word. And just as Jesus was preparing his disciples back then for the task of sharing the word with others, he also prepares us for what to expect as we take our turn in sowing the word. Now, the time that we find ourselves in may feel like, well, how on earth are we going to sow the word at this season? How can we share the gospel with people? But actually, this season will bring some unique opportunities to sow the word in others. Maybe contacts we already have, friends, family, people we're in touch with, neighbours. Please don't let this season knock us off course from being people who sow the word. But Jesus says, expect different reactions as you do. Like Jesus, our job is to sow. It is not for us to work out how that seed will grow, it is simply to sow. But Jesus kindly here prepares us, he makes us wise for what to expect as we go about that work. As Jesus draws his disciples close in verse 10, and he explains to them that he's given them the secrets of the kingdom, as he explains to them that his teachings divide, he does so to encourage them in the work. He says, this is what you can expect in the great work of sowing the good news. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart when people drift away. Don't lose heart when people blank what you say. Remember, keep sowing and keep praying for Jesus to do his growing work, his giving of the secrets of the kingdom to people. So message one from this story is listen. We've got to listen, accept it, consider it to be true, allow it to change your life. Slow down as you read and as you hear. Message two is expect different reactions. But a final lesson I want us to think about tonight from this story is that I think in this story Jesus is warning us as well. He says, beware the dangers to the word, to the sown word in our life. Beware of the dangers to the word that has been sown in our lives. On three occasions in this story, the word is stopped from growing. It's made unfruitful. Now, these three occasions, I think, are three warnings to us for things to watch out for. So look with me at verse 15. Let's start there. Some people are like seed sown along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Danger number one for all of us when the word is sown is Satan. Every time that the word is sown in us, every time someone has shared the gospel with you, or you've sat in a Bible study, or you've opened your Bible in the morning, or you've listened to a sermon, Satan is right there like a bird circling or a pigeon pecking at the ground around you on a bench eating your lunch. He wants to snatch it away. I guess you've all been near a beach where there are seagulls and you just watch them circling and waiting for something to get dropped on the ground. They dive and they snatch it away. Friends, Satan is the same. He loves to take away the word that has been sown in us. Now, we're not told exactly how he does that, but I'm sure all of us can have a good guess. You know, as we put down the Bible from our morning Bible readings and soon drift into doing other things, it's very easy for us to forget. You know, which of us hasn't walked out of a sermon and immediately just can't recall what it's about or what it's done for us? Satan's a real threat, and we're to beware of letting him take the word away. Now, how can we do that? Well, there are lots of practical ways, I think, to keep Satan from snatching the word. Some ways I find helpful, particularly in my personal Bible readings, is to write something down, to pop it in my pocket and to have it to hand in the day to say, Satan, I'm not going to let you snatch this one away. Satan's a threat, so beware. Find ways to keep him from snatching the word away. Danger number two is seen in verse 17. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Troubles and persecutions are another danger to the word growing in us. They're a threat to the growth of the word. Now, friends, okay, we're not under persecution at the moment, but we are under a time of trouble. And it's just worth listening very carefully to what Jesus says here, because he says we are in a time right now, a troubled time, that is a danger, is a threat to the word growing in us. It's very easy in a troubled time for the word to be choked out, for us to stop considering it to be true, for us to lose sight of the joy that is ours in Jesus. Beware, he says, troubles and persecutions are a danger to the word growing in you. They are a threat to us listening, to us accepting, and allowing that word to change us. Threat number one is Satan. Threat number two is troubles and persecution. So beware, watch out. Danger number three is found in verse 19. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. What are you worried about at the moment? That might feel very different today to what it felt like perhaps 3 or 4 weeks ago. Maybe we're beginning to worry about how will I earn enough money to pay the bills. Maybe we're beginning to worry about where will I get food from today. Maybe we're worrying about what have I got to fit into this week? How can I work from home and look after the kids and do all the things? Maybe we're just worried about how to cope with the loneliness. Worries of life can be a real danger to the word producing a crop in us. As can verse 19, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for money, the pursuit of work to get money, the lies of security if we have money. Money can properly mess with us. And so we got to beware, Jesus says, beware of this danger that can stop the word being fruitful in us. And verse 19, the desire for other things. You can fill in the blank. Desires for success, desires for relationships, desires for stuff. Desires drive us, they shape us, they fill our heads. And Jesus says, beware, because these can choke the word and stop it being fruitful. See, all three of these things, Satan, troubles, worries, remain a threat to the fruitfulness of God's word in our lives. And with this story, Jesus warns us. He says, watch out, beware. Friends, in his kindness, Jesus has given us this story because he wants us to know that he continues to scatter the seeds of his word. He continues to sow the good news on the grounds of our hearts. And whilst there's loads of things we could say from this story, three simple messages I think we could spend some good time talking about tonight is, first of all, listen. What are we doing with God's word, especially in this time of lockdown and isolation? Is it just going into our ears and then out the other in some respects? Or are we hearing it? Are we accepting it? Are we letting it grow in us? Are we taking time to think on it and meditate on it and allow it to shape what we do? In this time, let's not lose sight of the fact that we've still got to be looking for ways to sow the word. But as we do, expect different reactions. Expect the disappointments of people refusing to believe, of people showing promise but falling away. Expect the joy of seeing the word do its work in this season as well. And thirdly, Jesus says, beware. Beware of the dangers to the growth of God's word in your life. Fight the dangers. Fight the worries of life. Fight the dangers of Satan snatching the word away. And fight the dangers of the troubles that we find ourselves in, choking the word and us losing our joy. Friends, why don't I say a quick prayer about that, and then we'll talk about some questions that we can talk about together. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus isn't just the good news, but he's the farmer who sows that good news into our lives. Father, thank you that we have easy and rich access to your word. Thank you that Jesus is sowing his word regularly in our hearts. Please, Father, help us to be those who listen. Please help us to be those who not merely allow it into our ears, but who accept it, who weigh it and consider it to be true, something to be acted upon. Please teach us in this time what it is to allow that word to shape us, to shape the way we behave, to shape the way we think, to shape the way we act towards others around us. Father, please help us to be those who keep sowing in this season. Father, we seek your help on how to do that effectively. Father, when we're not so easily able to have contact with others, we ask that you would help us to make the most of the people we do have around us. Father, our friends, our family, those neighbours that we have contact with. Father, please prepare us for the different reactions that we might receive. May we not lose heart, but keep sowing, just as Jesus did. And Father, in your mercy, help us to beware of the dangers. Father, this time of trouble, may it not choke out the word in us. May it not stop the word being unfruitful in us. May we not drift away from the words we know to be true. Please help us not to be consumed by the worries of life to the point where we forget the things that Jesus has taught us, where we lose our hope in the things that Jesus says are true. Please help us in this time to allow that word to grow and produce a crop in us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Nathan, thank you so much for that helpful word. I guess as we've reflected particularly on some of the dangers of the word of God being snatched away or not being fruitful in our lives, it'd be good to think through this a little bit more, some of the things we've heard.
Absolutely.
And so hopefully everyone's received as part of this email some questions to discuss and response. Nathan, could you just give us the first question to start us off?
Yeah, I thought a good question just to get us a conversation started is just to talk about the different ways Jesus sows his word in your life today. So we'll all be taking in Jesus's word in different ways. Or if I could put it another way, where are you getting God's word from in your life? So just share that. You know, we'll all have different ways, might be encouraged by that. Perhaps we're using Bible reading notes. Perhaps we're listening to stuff online. I know particularly in this season of lockdown, there are some great online resources that people are using. And you might want to share that just to talk about that.
Yeah. And I think actually one of the things that you shared, which I often try to do as well, is actually just writing something down from Bible readings every day is actually a really helpful way, A, of remembering scripture, but also just having that thought that if you see someone else, you can encourage them with that, what you've written down as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good. Another question for us?
Yeah, I think particularly in this season of troubles, worries of life, I guess it'd be good to talk about what are some of the biggest things that stop God's word growing in you personally. You know, so to make it personal as you start a conversation, you know, what are the things in life that cause you to forget the word or to doubt the word. You know, if accepting the word is considering it to be true, then I think the dangers to God's word in our lives is when we consider it not to be true. And so what are some of those things that perhaps cause you to doubt God's word?
Yeah, and that there'd be particular things, I guess, at the moment, given the situation with isolation, that will perhaps be a different threat than normal life, but that would be a good thing for us to discuss in our groups or over the phone with someone else. And then just give us a third kind of question we can discuss in response to what we've heard.
Yeah, well, I think one of the helpful questions I often ask is, you know, how does a bit of the Bible help me to pray? And so I'd encourage you to talk about how does this story help you pray for others as you share the word with them. You know, it's easy to think, well, this isn't the season for evangelism, but I think that would be knocking the church off course in its mission. Mm-hmm. And so verse 11, I think particularly, Jesus talks about the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. And right in the middle of this story, Jesus is reminding disciples that, you know, he is the one who gives people understanding. Mm. And so just talk about, you know, given all this story shares, how can we be praying for others, you know, who receive God's word regularly perhaps, or just for the first time we've shared it with them? That would be a great thing to talk about.
Yeah, and that, I guess, can also be a particular way we can start to fuel our prayers after we've discussed these questions together.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good. Well, friends, I think our time's nearly done, at least on this audio. We're going to give you some time to discuss, go away and talk about these things. And then I'd suggest that you turn to some time of prayer, either with others or with by yourself. But do spend some time praying in response to what we've heard tonight, particularly on what the word is doing in your life. You know, Jesus tells this story to kind of sort of poke us and say, well, what is the word doing when it lands in us? So spend some time praying about that. Please let me encourage you as well to use our grapevine to help us pray. I think that's going to be one of the key ways that we stay in touch with one another's needs in this particular time. So do use that to pray. Particularly want to ask you tonight to pray for Johnny Prime, who was one of the pastors here at Enfield just till a couple of years ago. Very sadly, Johnny's dad died recently. Many of us will know Johnny's dad, Derek, and the influence that he's had on so many. But let's pray for Johnny and Sandra and the wider family, Amy and Jenny, particularly in our church, as they grieve. I'd also ask you to pray very specifically tonight for Julie Ellis's brother, who's very unwell at the moment. For Larry, many of us know Larry, but let's pray for him, particularly at this time. So please use your grapevines. Please pray for one another. But thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we're going to sign off. So see you later.